If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a woman realizes that some of the paranormal experiences she's reading about in a book are starting to happen to her in real life.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want access to our archive of ghost stories and the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, and the archive of like almost 350 some of them, you get all that. Advanced episodes of the show, commercial free, our ebook or audiobook, then become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. You do that over at ghostpodcast.com, or if you prefer the Patreon platform, we're there as well. Same content both places. Patreon.com/realghoststories is how you get signed up there. It's only $5 a month. And you guys doing that is what supports this show, keeps it on the air. Without you guys, we would not exist. And we've been going strong for 8 years. So thank you guys for all of your support. We would certainly not exist without you. Let's begin our program today. It's Tony and Carol with you. And what's going on in your world?
Let's begin.
Let's begin our program. I was going to jump to a story, but I'm like, we didn't really chat yet. So I got to kind of backtracked a little bit.
I did want to say hey to somebody. I got the nicest message from a woman named Susan. Mm-hmm. And she messaged me on Facebook. And if, like, I get these odd requests from people and I never know, like, do they listen to the show? Like, who is this person? Why do they want to be my friend? So just send me a message, like Susan. But anyway, she's really sweet. And she said some very nice things. And, you know, you don't always get the nice messages. And that one just meant a lot from her. And so she said very nice things about me, but also very nice things about you, Tony.
That's
and
nice.
So then she said, this old 71-year-old cancer-fighting lady grabs all the laughs she can, and she's just very sweet. And so I said, you just made my day. Thank you so much. Blah, 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 blah. I hate to hear about your cancer battle. How are you doing? And then she said that she has beat skin, breast, and lung cancer, and she's a singer, so that wasn't good. But she's dealing with terminal liver and bone cancer, which breaks my heart. And she said, I'm getting the best treatment I can. I have wonderful prayer warriors and a saint for a husband. It's not going to get me anytime soon. I have too many more podcasts to listen to. So that just made me smile. So I hope we don't disappoint her. But I just wanted to say thank you for the nice message. And you know, I hate that she's going through all that. But she has this amazing attitude. You can just tell she's someone who has an amazing energy about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes a long way when you're fighting something like that.
It does. I mean, and that's...
And having a sane husband helps too.
Yes. The support system and then the attitude are the, you know, I think two of the biggest things, you know, with that, you know, along with obviously all the treatment and such, but, you know, there's a lot of power that comes along with attitude and thinking and all of that. And I'm glad to hear that that she's got a long time still with us. And I'm honored that we can be a part of her life when she's,
I know,
doing
when you think
stuff.
About it like that, it's kind of, yeah. It kind of got me in the heart. And, yeah. And, you know, I think it's very nice when people just randomly, like, not just, you know, about the podcast, but in life,
yeah.
When you just randomly tell somebody, hey, I really like this one thing about you, or, you know, just those little things that you don't have to do, it can really make somebody's day. And she really made mine.
That's
so
really
thank you
cool.
very much.
That's really cool. Yeah. Let's jump to our first story of the day. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. It says, this is Cheryl from North Carolina. I wanted to share a good paranormal experience I had surrounding my mom's death in 2015. I've had many paranormal experiences in my life, most of them extremely creepy or even terrifying, but I'll share some of those later. I thought this one is the one to share, as it is a nice experience and we could all use that in 2020. In April of 2015, we were given the bad news that mom had stage 4 colon cancer. My dad is also sick and on dialysis. He ended up beating her to the other side by 5 weeks. My parents were in Illinois, so I decided to go and stay there. The day I arrived, around the beginning of July, she was in an awfully bad shape. My sister was there and we ended up calling an ambulance, and that was the last time she would come home. Fast forward a couple of months later, she was in a palliative care facility and death was impending and inevitable. I was there at this point, day and night, going home to sleep a few hours and coming back in the morning. She was in and out of consciousness, but would always seem to come to when a visitor came with an I love you or you're beautiful. She somehow made sure we all knew how much we were loved. She also seemed to be in a different dimension. She'd mumble things like, it's so beautiful. And when she called me Mildred, her grandmother's name, a woman she never knew, it was as if she had 1 foot in an alternate reality. The sense of peace from the room was nothing short of supernatural. I could not see them, but I knew there were angels surrounding us. Though physically she was facing unimaginable horrors, her mind, from what I was seeing, was not experiencing the same. Mom's favorite book was Arnie, the Darling Starling. I remember through the years her mentioning that I should read it and that I would enjoy it, but like a lot of bratty kids, I ignored the parental advice. I got the notion that it would be nice for me to read it to her so we could have something special but could do together. By this point, Mom was extremely sick, sleeping most of the day and barely able to communicate. Just a few precious words here and there. I began reading the story, and the funny thing was that whenever I would, her eyes would stay open and she'd seem to be listening intently. I believe she was. This went on a couple of weeks. In the mornings, I'd come in and read several pages. It was a little scary that towards the end of the book, some of the same things that were happening to Arnie in the book were happening to Mom at the time. They were experiencing the same stages of death at the very same time. The evening came that the story was done, and in the end, Arnie, the Darling Starling, died. The next morning, shortly after I came in, my mother passed away too, on September 17th. It seems she was waiting for our story to be done. My husband did a photo montage video with music for her memorial service, and one of the songs he picked to go with her earlier photos was Van Morrison's Into the Mystic. She was Irish, and it seemed fitting. At the first listen, I did not like it, but on the second listen, I realized no other song could be more perfect. Felt like she was giving me a big thumbs up. That's the one he used. I was not familiar with the song, but in the weeks that followed her death, every time I would be in my car and feel a flood of grief come over me, the song would suddenly begin to play on the radio. And I knew, like I knew, she was with me. Different stations would be playing it, and I mean every time. It was a lot of those in the first weeks. Before then, I had never heard of the song. My son called me extremely sick. He has a bad gallbladder from a college dorm, throwing up everywhere and asking me to come help. I rushed out in the panic. And on came the song and a hug from Mom. On her first birthday, after her passing, I asked God if he was too busy to let me hear the song as a sign that she was with me. And sure enough, the song played for me. I had my window down and a white feather floated up and landed on my lap. I have no doubt whatsoever that those were not coincidences, but signs from my mom from heaven. I ended up getting a Celtic moon tattoo with two birds, a baby bird following behind the mama bird, and the words, "Into the Mystic." That's it for now. Thanks for your podcast. I'm hooked since I found you a few weeks ago. I'll become an EPP as soon as money affords. Keep up the amazing work. And Casey, could you please play Into the Mystic? It would mean a lot to me for my mom. Here's your long-distance dedication. Okay, we can't really play that due to laws and such, but
no,
there you go.
But that made me kind of get all emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's so crazy is that's not a song, even on a classic rock station, that you would hear that often.
It's not. I could barely even remember it, but it was a single, but it just never got, you know, played much.
Yeah, because they only choose to play 200.
Exactly.
250 maybe. No, that was just an incredibly beautiful story.
It was.
That was just beautiful. And the whole thing about the book, when you first in the intro of the show and you said something about that, mm-hmm. I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm like, okay, that person is crazy. But then the way you told that, she told that story, it's not.
Like, no.
The fact that is something you would do with a parent mm-hmm. who is dying. Like if they had a favorite book, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. Read them the book.
Yeah.
You know, and so the fact that would be the book and then it's so paralleled and then she dies mm-hmm. and like, and then wasn't it the father had died 5 weeks before then?
Yeah. He had
just a lot.
Yeah.
That was an incredible story. Those are like the ones that just get me every sure. time.
I have when I read the stories, I turn your mic on to mute, and I was wondering. I'm like, I wonder if she's crying as I'm reading this right now.
Oh, I was getting actually, I was doing pretty good until you started playing that song. I'm like, oh my god, that girl's gonna hear that. She's gonna be all emotional.
That's why I was kind of reading a little bit slower towards the end, because on one screen I was trying to read the story and on the other I was trying to cue the song up. So it's kind of hard, like you're trying to read and type
Thank
a different
God
words
for all those radio days that enabled you to even be able to pull that off.
Exactly. I used to be better at it. I don't think my mind multitasks as well as it used to, but
that was just a beautiful story. You know, that's just one of those that really gives you that peace that there is something else. I don't know where you go when you die. I don't know how that works, but I do really feel like they can still be with you. And I think you look for those signs. They're not always as obvious as hearing that same song all the time. And it's not always as like, you know, hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear my song and it comes on. Mm-hmm. It's not always like that. But I do think those signs are there, and a lot of times they're very easily missed because you're looking for the big bolt of lightning when that raindrop was what the sign was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was just great.
I'm going to be very obvious because it seems, you know, everything has to be super blatant these days and I'm going to guess into the future too, for people to like pick up on anything where it's like, here's the sign. So when I'm dead and people need to figure out what sign I'm giving them in a song, it's going to literally be this. Ace of Base, the sign.
I saw the sign.
Yep. It's like, it's dad. Yes, it is. The song's called The Sign. I'm right here. I'm the one that's spinning your couch around in your living room while you're on your phone. Now the silverware is floating around the room.
That's dad.
Your cat is on the fan. It needs to get down. Jesus Christ. I'm a ghost. Here's the song. So that's how it's going to work. Just telling my family now.
So oh there. I was taking a drink of something I should have known better. And I almost spit it out.
And I'm still going to hit the post when I'm dead.
You are so good at that. What everyone doesn't know is every night when we do this over Skype that Tony calls me and I don't even have to say anything. He just plays some inappropriate DJ thing that he makes up in his mind So yeah, you're very good at that.
Should I do the one from tonight? Yeah. I won't say the name of the fake DJ because it's someone that we knew.
But I know who it is. And so this is how I don't even, it's not hello, Carol. It's not, hey, what's up? It is just do it.
Yep.
Do it.
I'm queuing it up.
Okay. Because every night, like this one tonight made me laugh so hard because it was perfect. The voice is really good.
Okay.
But it's also,
it's going to be,
what you said was funny as shit.
Okay. It's not queuing it.
Dang it.
Hang on.
Come on, man.
Maybe this will type it in this way. Okay, here we go. All right, so this is Bad DJ from like 1994. Okay, so here we go. All the hits, WSEX 106.9. It's Rick Rickards. And this weekend, we're going to be out at the Pony Carnival downtown. I'll be behind the nacho stand. My pants will be down if you want to meet me. It's Vanessa Williams on WSEX. Life can be strange. And the thing is, we've worked with so many people that would like be like that, that would be behind the nacho stand with their pants down. And then it's like, somebody call HR. They're behind the nacho stand with their pants. I don't know what the... Why did we hire this guy? He had great ratings in Paducah, and he came with the number one recommendation. So he's a new morning show. But he's behind the nacho stand with his pants down. But he can bring in the numbers, can he? He sure can. Sure can bring in them numbers. What's your quarter hour looking like? I don't know, but I'm not behind the nacho stand with my pants down. Let's not talk negatively about our coworkers. What the fuck? Did he do anything with his pants down, or was he just standing there? Was there nacho cheese involved? I don't know if there was nacho. He had like a churro in his hand. I don't know what the fuck that was about. Well, maybe he likes churro. He had his pants down in public. Hey, was he wearing a station shirt? Was the logo? Was the logo on his body? Yes. Well, everybody gets a free pass. That's his first free pass. It's fucking radio right there, kids.
Did he have a logo on his shirt?
He had those great ratings in Paducah. Yeah.
He's only been here 2 weeks. He doesn't have a shirt yet.
He didn't have a shirt on either. Behind the nacho stand without a shirt on. Yeah.
Oh my God, that made me laugh. So that's how, it's not like, hey, Carol, it's just boom, that. Every week. It's the best thing ever.
Good times. Improving old radio assholes. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, everybody. This is Eve. I called before and left a couple of stories. One that took place in Sherbourne, Massachusetts, and another one that took place in Rochester, New York. I am originally from the Boston and the New York areas, but currently live in Bluffton, South Carolina. So I'm pretty excited because down here is apparently very haunted everywhere you go. So that'll be fun. But this is a story that took place when I lived on Long Island. I lived in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens, and other areas upstate. I kind of did the tour of New York, but I lived on Long Island in a hamlet of Southampton that is called Spionk, which is a very funny name, and I will actually guess that. So, the first house that I've rented, I've always rented apartments, and it was so cool to have like my own house, and I was renting it alone and just in a good place in my life. You know, I was single at the time, employed, you know, on my own, doing my own thing, supporting myself, happy. I got my cat. I'm going to move into my own house. So cool. So, here's a little bit of history about this. Spionk is a hamlet that, you know, is established as early as the 1700s. It was cattle farming, then it was duck farming, which is really big on Long Island. There's actually a couple duck farms and research centers still there. The house itself was built in the 1930s. It is an American four square, very small square, had a bottom and a top floor. There was a little small addition put onto the back of the house, which I believe literally just the bathroom, because probably it had some type of outhouse originally. There's a garage portion in the back of the yard area that's actually a whole separate house now, because the landlord owned both and rented them out separately. So I lived in the front alone in this house. And it's a four-bedroom. Sounds huge for one person, but it really wasn't. These are very small rooms. So imagine you take a giant room and cut it in four, and then you put the tiniest closets you possibly can in each one. And each of the rooms is like, you know, has a slanted wall of the, you know, from the roof. Like dormer, but there's no dormer windows. Each room did have a window in it, a closet, and that's it. You know, very simple, like, little room. So when you come up the stairs of the house, there's a small hallway, and on right side there's two doors, on left side there's two doors. At the end of the hallway on the ceiling there is a square piece of wood that you can move out of the way to get up into the crawl space, which I definitely never went into. But that's more because I'm claustrophobic than anything else. I was kind of curious as to what's up there, but apparently it was just mostly stink bugs. So, you know, I'm more scared of bugs than I am of ghosts, so we're not doing that. So anyway, Spionk, although maybe was only established by, you know, the, you know, Americans in 1700s and Native Americans, there's actually evidence that they were there like centuries before we thought they were. So, you know, just a very old place. The funny thing about the town Spionk is that Spionk means a high place, which is really weird because it's flat as hell. All of Long Island is flat as hell. It's barely above sea level. So we don't know. I looked at a lot of research into the town. No one could figure out why it was called the High Place, but that's just, you know, fun. A fun fact that you can interpret however you want, whether it was a lofty, elevated to God type of place or whether it was high because they were smoking. I don't know. But anyway, when I went to see the house, I've moved more than 15 times, so I'm not about to just be like, hey, I'll live here. I'm like, let me see everything. Let me see the plumbing. Let me see this. I walked into this house and I said, I'm living here. I hadn't even gone upstairs yet. I immediately was like, I'm living here. It was like I was supposed to live there. I've never felt like that moving into anywhere else that I've been. I've moved places where I've immediately liked it and said, yeah, I want to live here. But this was like, it was almost like waiting for me. It was crazy. The house had just been redone in terms of painting and stuff, little things here and there, but not major, you know, construction or anything like that. So I move in and I'm living there alone. And one of the first couple nights, maybe the first night, I don't remember exactly, but one of the first couple nights I'm there, I'm sleeping. Now, my door, I believe I shut the bedroom door most of the time when I went to sleep. And what happened was I heard knock, knock, knock. Now, I know you're familiar with exploding head syndrome, and I do indeed have it. And I know a lot of listeners right now are like, what the fuck is this chick talking about? Her head explodes. I moved in. First couple nights I was sleeping there, I heard knock, 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 woke up immediately. It didn't sound like it was knocking on my bedroom door. It sounded like it was knocking in the hallway or on a different door in the hallway. It was just a little bit removed from me. The way that you can tell someone's knocking on the next apartment door over not yours or another door in the house not yours. So, that happened, exploding head syndrome, you know, like I said, it, you know, I have it. I either hear knocks or I hear one loud clap or I hear my name or sometimes I see a flash of light and it wakes me up suddenly. And this happens when I'm falling asleep usually. It hasn't happened in a long time, but I was like, listen, I'm alone here in this house. I'm just going to pretend it's exploding head syndrome and go back to sleep because I really don't feel like dealing with like, oh my God, there's a ghost and I'm here alone and I decided to move in this house alone, so on and so forth. So, happens again the next night. Okay, a little bit weirder, but then again, I've had this my whole life. I also have sleepwalking, I've had sleep paralysis, sleep talking, all kinds of sleep disorders my whole life. So I really can't attribute everything to it's a ghost. And I'm kind of used to that weird stuff happening to me. But it doesn't usually happen 2 days in a row. It doesn't usually happen repetitively. And it hadn't happened in a long time. However, when you first move to a new place, that's the most often time that I would start sleepwalking and doing weird stuff because I wasn't really familiar with my surroundings. Luckily, I didn't get into any sleepwalking that I know of while I was there. But then again, I was there alone, so who knows? Other things started happening, like a lot of things. TV would go on and off, cable would go on and off, surround sound would go on and off, lights would go on and off, sometimes not together. Sometimes the TV would go on, but the cable wouldn't, the cable would go on, but the TV wouldn't. I'd be standing, you know, in the living room talking to my fiance, who would come to visit a lot. She at the time was my girlfriend. She didn't live there yet, but just hold on for that part. And there were times where I was like, you know, I can't, this is crazy. I'd be in the middle of talking to her and the surround sound would just magically turn on, and it would turn on to like the highest volume possible that we had not left it on, and like blast me out. And like, it was kind of funny. We didn't really see it as being scary, but we literally did end up unplugging that surround sound and getting rid of it. Now, she had had that previously in her house. No problem. And so that was weird. But so like, okay, lots of electric activities. Then again, house from the 1930s. My landlord wasn't the greatest. God knows what type of electricity situation's going on in this house. Okay, so now, at some point in, so I lived there from 2016 to 2020. Around 2018, 2 years in, my fiance moved in with me. And, all kinds of stuff started happening. So at one point in about October of 2017-ish, which, you know, sometimes she would sleep over before she moved in, so she'd be there, whatever. In the bedroom, in one of the four bedrooms, the bedroom that, you know, we slept in, my fiance heard a woman say hi. And the very next day I was in there and I heard a woman say hi. And, 2 days later, I heard a woman say friends in the bedroom. Then this other weird thing happened, after she moved in, you know, it was like we were going to go to bed one night. She was downstairs and I was upstairs and I was waiting for her and I was standing in the hallway and I just felt like I can't go in the bedroom. I have to stand here. I have to wait. I have to stand by the door. She's supposed to go in first. It would be rude for me to go in first. And I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? Like, I'm just standing there thinking all these weird things. She comes up the stairs and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting for you. She's like, you can get in the bed. You don't have to stand by the door. I'm like, no, I can't. And I was like, I can't explain it, but I feel like that would be disrespectful. And she's like, what crack are you smoking? But fortunately, you know, she's been experiencing all these weird things too with me. So she realizes that, like, I'm like, I can't control this. Like, something's going on. You need to go in first and I'll go in after you. And that feeling stayed like that for multiple months that I was like, I felt like I wasn't allowed to go in the bedroom unless she went in first. It was her bedroom. Meanwhile, she was the one that moved into my house, right? So it was really weird, but it was fine. It wasn't a creepy feeling, but it was almost like I was pushing the envelope if I was going to go in there without her, when we were going to bed. Not during the day when I'd go in and out and do stuff, but definitely most of the energy I felt in that house was right between those two doors. The door that was right across from that bedroom, the other bedroom, was where I slept alone before she moved in. So it was like right in that hallway, right at the end, right under the crawl space between those two doors is where I felt the strangest in that house for the most energy. So time passes, things are happening, and then something happened that really changed everything. And by the way, all of our carbon monoxide detectors are fine. Thank you very much for all the skeptics out there. So in August 2018, where I had lived there for 2 years by now, the only people coming in and out of that house are me and her and the maintenance guys that we would call once in a while for X, Y, and Z, but like we knew them really well. They were, you know, they always worked with that guy and they weren't snooping. They weren't stealing. They weren't doing anything weird. Now, there is, attached to the kitchen, there's like a side room, kind of like a dining room. There is no door, just a cutout of a door kind of. And then there's also, excuse me, I just burped. And that's really gross because you're going to have to air that. there's also a cutout in the wall so you can see through, kind of like from a kitchen to another room where you might hand food or whatever. Now, if you're standing in the living room looking towards the kitchen and there's that open doorway with no door in it, there's like a, you know, molding around it, a ledge on the top. One day, my girlfriend came home and she was just quickly changing out of her scrubs because we both work with animals, to throw them in the laundry room. And she had a penny in her pocket and she just took it out and she just put it down like on the ledge of like the cutout. So it's kind of at waist level. She just like put it there, right next to the cutout of the door area and not thinking anything of it, whatever. A couple days later, she says, what is this what is that? Like, what is this coin thing up here? And I, like, come into the dining room. I'm like, that's really weird that you said that, because I saw that yesterday, and this wasn't the penny that she put down. The penny that she put down was still there. But all of a sudden, up on the ledge, there was a coin. And you could see, like, the edge of it poking out. And it definitely wasn't there before, because we both noticed it right away. We're like, what the hell is that, right? So she is standing there, and I'm standing there, and we're looking at each other. I'm like, I noticed that yesterday. I thought you put it there. I thought it was some weird Italian thing that you guys do. I don't know. And she starts laughing at me, and, you know, she's like, no, I didn't put that there. What the hell? I can't even reach up there because she's shorter than me. So I'm like, well, let me look at it. I'm, like, scared. She's like, so am I. So I take it down and look at it, and then my face turns white, and she's like, what? She's like, what? Is it a penny from, like, 1922? And I'm like, no. And she was like, what? I'm like, it's worse than that. She's like, what? I'm like, it's a penny from 2018. And we just stared at each other. And I was like, and we have ghosts. So, you know, there's so many things that happened there, but the physical manifestation of something like that was crazy. I was like, well, that's from this year. That's from, you know, we're halfway through this year. And not only that, but we didn't put it there and no one else did either, but it's from this year. So what the fuck? And then, you know, I looked it up, and apparently coins around windowsills and frames and placing coins there is a way for a spirit to welcome you into the home. So it's a very lovely story, I suppose. Plenty more to tell you guys, and I will call back again. I hope that you got the first part of the story. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yes, please do call back again. That was a good one.
I was so afraid. You know, sometimes they talk too long and it cuts off. I'm like, don't let it cut off.
Well,
don't let it cut off.
What happened?
I know what happened.
What happened was she did call twice. They were back to back calls, and I caught it when I was pulling the calls that, okay, this woman had a good story. And then I found the second half and I pasted it all together. So I went the extra mile.
Thank you for doing that.
Or I just did my job, really.
To get cut off.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't call back because they think that, I guess they think they're still going.
Sure. But no.
You know what I thought she was going to do? It was like, and the penny was from 2022.
Oh, God. Wait, that would be interesting.
That hasn't even happened yet.
That's like the start to a movie.
Right.
Right there. That's something.
And the whole thing about living in a hamlet, anyway, it just sounds like you're in some sort of novel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I live in Kansas, we don't have hamlets.
I can't say I've ever been in a hamlet. Well, I mean, where do they use that term?
Where she lives.
Where is that?
Didn't she say Long Island?
Oh, okay. Like, yeah,
she was from there and then moved.
It sounds like a New England-y term, kind of.
Yeah.
A hamlet. Yes.
Well,
okay.
And you know, when you think, you know, gosh, when did they all move in there? You know. Mayflower came over a long time ago.
Sure.
And I don't have a date for that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when you think about how old that area of the country is, I guess they would have hamlets.
It sounds like, you know, something from like it's a quaint little town or a new breakfast item on McDonald's menu. The McHamlet, you know, new McDonald's, the McHamlet. Yeah, the McHamlet. The McHamlet's amazing, man. There's like five different types of ham in here and bacon and cheese, and it's wrapped in a pizza, and then it's dipped in nacho sauce. New Hamlet.
If you're lucky, you'll find a penny.
And it's coated in copper dust.
But that thing about finding coins, like, that's happened to me before. Like, because I'm like all about the pennies, and we've had that conversation a million times, because it's like, so in my new house, I have found pennies where I did not. I'm like, I live by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, that penny shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, well, I have a cat who, you know, my cat's young and my cat likes to get all over stuff. So, of course, my cat somehow drug the penny there. But, you know, so I get that feeling of how did that get there? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it would make more sense if it was an older penny, actually.
Yeah.
But being a brand new penny, it would have just happened. I don't know. I liked listening to her tell a story.
She was very engaging.
It was just very fun to listen to her. It's like, hey, can we come hang out at your haunted house in the hamlet sometime? Because exactly. That would be fun.
It was good. So, yes, please
we got,
do.
We got friends. We'll bring them.
We got booze.
How many can we have?
Exactly.
I'll make martinis. I'm good at that.
We're going to start getting invites very quickly if we keep saying that.
You can bake. If get Tony all his stuff to bake. I'll make the cocktails. We're a great team. We'll entertain you. And we'll play fake radio DJs.
You're going to get an email going, were you serious about that? Is that a real offer, Carol?
Yeah.
All right.
If we're in your town.
That's going to wrap up our episode today of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person at patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free, ebook, audiobook, all that is in there. Again, patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.